Good singing. We're blessed, amen. Blessed to have the talent, and the great singing that we have here at the church. Blessed to have, we had council meeting this morning. It's blessed to have all the people that are willing to work and serve the Lord. And we just praise God for what He's doing. And we want Him to be in our midst, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus is my friend. Amen. This morning, I want to preach for just a little bit. That's the title of the message, is Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Got quite a few places we're going to read. Lord willing, we're going to, obviously, we want God to guide us. We want God to lead us, and we want what God wants. It's futile for us to try to do anything else. So if we would just surrender to Him and surrender our lives and our wills and our actions to Him, that's the best. God's will is the best. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to read in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse 16, just a couple of verses. And then we're going to flip over to Luke chapter number 7. And we're going to read this scripture, but I want you to understand something. When they called Jesus the friend of sinners, they were not giving Him a compliment. Initially, when they came out and the scribes and the Pharisees and they looked at Jesus and they called Him the friend of sinners, it was an accusation, and it was an accusation in a derogatory fashion. They were putting Him down. They were accusing Him of things, and I want us to look at that in the story here in the Word of God, what they say and what ye say. First, let's go to Matthew chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 16. And this is Jesus, this is the red riding, this is Jesus, and He's speaking unto the generations of the people. It says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John," this is speaking of John the Baptist, "came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man," Christ speaking of Himself, "said he came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man who is a gluttonous and a winebibber." Now that word winebibber, it means a drunkard. "A friend of publicans and sinners." But it says, "But wisdom is justified of her children." Now let's go over to Luke chapter number 7. In verse number 31, and just read a couple of parallel verses. And this is Christ again. It says, "And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." You see, this initially, the accusation was not one of respect, not of adoration, but it was basically a put down. They did not like Jesus Christ, and they begin to accuse Him of being a drunkard himself and being a friend of sinners. It's like this. They're saying, look who he hangs out with. And even to this extent, they say, why does he care about them? You see, it was an accusing tone that spoke in jest, but there was an ulterior motive. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought they were a picture of what it meant to follow God, a picture of Judaism. But as they looked around them and they saw the people that were in the greatest need, they didn't really see them. They didn't have care for them. They didn't love them. And when Christ came on the scene and he began to reach out and he went and he sat with publicans and sinners, they mocked him. They accused him. And they looked at him and they judged him. You know, sometimes we deal with that ourselves. Sometimes we deal with people looking at us and passing judgment on us before they know anything about us. And sometimes people think they can just look at you and they know what you are or who you are. You know, you look around today, and I've heard it said of Sam Walton, the guy who started the Walmart stores, that when he showed up, people had no idea how rich he was. You know, I've had people come by me, and they look at me, and they make a decision. They pass judgment on me, just like they know me all my life. You know, it wasn't but just maybe a few months ago, there was a lady came into the church here, and she came up to me in the handshaking line, and she kind of cut their eyes. They look at you. I can't look at you over my glasses because I'm blind. Okay, I do that. I literally cannot even tell who's out there. But she looked at me over her glasses like this, and she looked. My wife was standing beside me. She said, "Is that your wife?" And I said, "Yeah, it's my wife." And she said, "Huh?" She said, "You got you a young one." Now I looked at her for just a minute, and I said, you know, and I knew what was up. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we've been married right at 30 years. Amen. She said, "Huh." I couldn't convince this lady. I said, "Ask her." Well, she did. She didn't believe her either. I told her, I said, you know, there's a time, if you look at our wedding picture, I used to look young too. Yeah. All she said was this. You know what she said? You know, sometimes people come by you and that's what they do. They think they've got you figured out. But I want to tell you something. We can't figure nothing out. I tell you what we need to do. We need to worry about number one. And the only person I can try to keep right with the Lord is myself. I can't control nobody else. I can't straighten nobody else. I figured this out too. I can't make my wife do nothing. I'm doing the best I can with my children. But what were they doing? By calling Jesus the friend of sinners, they were saying he's like the sinners. They were judging Jesus. You see, that was an accusation in derogatory fashion. But I want you to see the provocation. If you go to Matthew chapter number 9, and I want to read just a couple of places to you. And I want us to be able to see it. We're going to get to the point that I want us to be able to understand that Jesus really is the friend of sinners. In Matthew chapter number 9, in verse number 9, the scripture says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners were come, and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" You see, the provocation for their accusation, which was in derogatory fashion, was really the result of a definitive action. Because when Christ came on the scene, he didn't come seeking those who thought they already had the answer, those who thought that they were so religious that they weren't going to listen to Christ anyway. But he came, the scripture says, to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. You know, and the scripture says in the 12th verse, it says, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they who are sick." You see, Jesus went and he saw Matthew sit at the receipt of custom, and he saw something in him. And here's what the Lord can do. And I want to tell you, God is not limited by what you and I think. He's not limited by what you even think your abilities are. But he saw Matthew being a tax collector, and he said, "That one is going to follow me." And he went home with him, and he loved him, and he cared about him. And this same Matthew who sat at the receipt of custom is the Matthew who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, who became one of the 12 disciples, because truly Jesus is a friend of sinners. Amen. See, the Pharisees actually had no use for publicans. They had no use for sinners. It is unfortunate, but I have met church people and churches that were the very same way. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 5, and let's just look at a couple of more verses. Chapter 5, verse number 27. It says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." Now this is Matthew. And by the way, can I just give you a little story here? That's why my son's name is Matthew. When he was born, I said, "I want to name my son Levi Garrett." My wife said, "No way." So he's Matthew. Means the same thing. Okay? Same one. Levi, this is Levi, this is Matthew. "Sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious sect of the day, they didn't have any use for the sinners. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's true, and I've said it. I've seen churches that were exactly the same way. I can remember one time being on the front porch of a church, and I was standing there, and a couple of the men standing around talking, and a car pulls up in the parking lot, and some people get out, and there's a man looks at me, and here's the words that came out of his mouth. He said, "We don't want that kind here." I want to tell you something. It sunk in my heart. You see, here I am as a young man. Now, folks, I'm still, some of you think I'm still young. Now, I'm getting older. But back then, I was really young. See, I started out preaching youth services and things like that because I was so young when I started preaching. And I remember how young I was. And this man was much older than me, should have been mature, should have understood. And I stood there and I listened to that, and I didn't know how to respond to him. Let me tell you, I know how to talk to him today. Yeah. There's a church not far from here. It's in Paulding County. They had something happen along these lines. They pulled in the church on one Sunday morning, and there was a man down by the front road, and he had a buggy. And you know, you ever seen anybody live out of a shopping cart? There are people who live out of a shopping cart. Well, the man had a buggy, and he had some clothes in it, and he had a few odds and ends in it. I mean, you know, there's no telling what's in the buggy, but he had him a little fire built, and he was right out by the front. The church had some property, but he was kind of over to the side, but you could see him when you pulled into the church. And as people begin to come in, and they passed him, and the pastor come in, and you know what the pastor did? He come up to the church, and he started, it's like this, "I want you and you to go deal with him." He said, "We don't need that down there. We don't need that kind of image in front of our church." Sometimes people got better sense than the pastor. You know what they said? "We're not going down there. You go down there." Well, it wasn't long. They looked up. Here he come. He had his buggy and he had his head down. He was walking toward the church, and they said, "Well, you don't have to go get him. Here he comes." Well, it wasn't but just a minute. They got up to there, and you know, they had all the pastor. He was upset. "We don't want that kind of image." And he raised his head up. You know who it was? It was the head of their elders board. He was a Sunday school teacher. He had been teaching on what it means to be a good Samaritan, and he was giving them a life example. They said that the pastor had to run inside the church and fall into the altar because they say, "We don't want that kind of here." I want to tell you, Jesus is a friend of sinners. I've said this before, and I mean this. If we get particular what comes in that door, God's going to get particular about what goes on in here. I'd rather have him than anything we can do any day. Amen? Amen. Tell you something else about this same pastor. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm going to limit it at that. But they had a youth program that was beginning to grow. They had a youth program that was beginning to grow because the youth director, the youth leader, he was going out and he was knocking on doors and he was inviting people to come. But they said, you know, the pastor said, "You're going to the wrong neighborhood. You're getting the wrong people in here. We don't want those kind." He said, "I want you to go to the high school, and I want you to get some of the jocks. I want you to get some of the cheerleaders. We want to change the image. I'll tell you what we want. We want to reach out to whosoever will and invite them to come." Jesus said, "Go into the highways, into the hedges, and bid them to come in." He said, "My house is not yet full." Jesus is a friend of sinners. Why did they call Jesus a friend of sinners? Because it was true. Aren't you glad it's true? I'm glad it's true. Can I tell you, as I stand up here today, I'm not standing up here preaching because I'm better than you. I'm not standing up here preaching because I'm good. I'm not doing it because my daddy was a preacher. I'm doing it because I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I once was blind, but now I see. I met the Master, and He became the Lord of my life. And He put a call on my life. I remember when God called me to preach, I was in the 9th grade. Let me tell you something, young people, God can use you. 9th grade, I was at Lithia Springs High School, and when you come out of the auditorium, they had a set of doors that went around this side of the stage and on this side. I was just about to walk through those doors when God spoke to me. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
I knew what it was. I wanted to run. And pretty much that's what I tell people when they tell me, I believe the Lord's calling me to preach. Run. Hard as you can, fast as you can. You know why I say that? Because there's too many of them saying God called me that wasn't.
Amen.
And if you can run, you ain't called. Because when it gets on you, it's on you. You see, Jesus coming to where they were and it was on Him. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He went into places that the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't go, where the religious sect wouldn't go, because they did not have the heart or the mind of Christ. You ever thought about where you'd be without God? I know where I'd be. I'd be in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. You ever heard that song? And you know, every now and then we play some of them good country gospel songs here. I say country first. What about that, but for the grace of God? Oh, why? I must have been born a lucky guy. Where would I be without the grace of God?
Amen.
I'd be lost. It's only by God's grace. You see, these scribes and Pharisees, the religious people of the day, they did not understand their own condition. But Jesus did. You see, go a little farther in the scripture. I want to show you something in Matthew chapter number 23. And I don't read this much because God doesn't send me here much, but it fits here today. I want you to look at the condition that the scribes and Pharisees were in, what the Lord actually said about them. He said, this is what condition that they are in. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse number 1, it says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That means they represented the law of God to the people. It says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. And can I want to stop right here, and I'm going to go back to this. We're going to run a rabbit for just a minute. I want to tell you something. Your pastor and your Sunday school teacher ought to live right before God. It's not wrong for you to expect them to. And if you know a pastor somewhere that preaches something that you ought to do and he's not doing it himself, find you another one. Because there's too much of that going on today. And what he's saying is you can listen to what they say, but don't do like they do because they are not right with God. He says, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. You'd look at them, you knew they were religious because when they showed up, they had these leather things around their forehead, leather around their bracelets, and they had these bells that they would jingle. And they'd stand on the corner when they fasted so that everybody could see their face disfigured. Let me tell you something. If you're going to fast, don't tell nobody. God may not move on your behalf if you get all the glory. It says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. The 6th verse says, and they loved the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters or leader, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Now let's flip over to the 27th verse. This whole chapter is full of this. But for time's sake, I want to flip over to the 27th verse. Listen to what he says about them, about the religious people of his day. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Here's what he's saying. He said it's like walking over a grave. You know, you look at it and it's beautiful on the outside, but within it's full of dead men's bones. That was the religious people. They appeared beautiful, but their hearts were not right with God. He said, even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And ye say, If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Now, let's just think about it. What did the children of them who killed the prophets do? What did the religious sect of Jesus' day do? They put Jesus on the cross. You see, they called Jesus the friend of sinners, but they did not even understand their own condition. They didn't know their position before God. Therefore, they could not stand to be in the presence of Christ. Why? Because they were lost. You see, now here's something to understand, and I've been around long enough that I understand this fully, and I'm going to just be honest with you. I say fully, maybe I'm still understanding it. But if sound preaching and teaching makes you uncomfortable, you might be lost. See, I've been in church my whole life. I've been in ministry my whole life. I was called to preach it when I was in the ninth grade. And I was licensed in 86, ordained in 89. And I've always served the Lord in some capacity. And in times of teaching Sunday school or preaching, I can remember being in churches. And you know, you're preaching and somebody get up and walk out. You know what I think? It's me. I'm not a good preacher. I don't know how to put it together. I don't know how to outline. They don't like me. I've said something wrong. Years later, teaching Sunday school classes, I've had people that were important people in the church. You know, people who had a position. They'd be sitting in Sunday school and they'd get up and walk out. And you know what I'm thinking? It's me. There's something wrong. I said something wrong. But you know, time goes on and you understand the reason they got up and walked out is because they were involved in an extramarital affair. It was because they were involved with some type of scheme that they were wrong. The truth is, the Holy Spirit of God had their number and they couldn't sat under of a sound word of God. That's why they couldn't stand to be in the presence of Christ. Here's what I like. Look at Psalms 119. 103, 104. The psalmist said this. He said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Here's what I know and understand. If you love God, you're going to love God's Word. Right. I love God's Word. I love to hear preaching. I love to hear teaching. I love to hear singing. I love to be at church. I love to be around God's people. You know, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. You ever met somebody and you start talking to them and you might have known them for years sometimes and you mention something about the Lord and they don't want to talk about it. I tell you what's peculiar to me, and every now and then this happens, you go to those things that ain't nothing but preachers. You think you could talk about the Lord. But you get to talking about the goodness of the Lord and the Holy Spirit begin to move and you get excited and they're backing up like they looking at something they ain't never seen. Can I tell you something? I'm excited about what God's done in my life. I'm excited that I'm saved, and I'm glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And he's still looking for somebody right now that he can say, come be my friend. See, if you love the Lord, you'll love his word. And here's where the Pharisees really missed it. If you love the Lord, you're going to love his people. What did he say to Peter? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. See, there was an accusation. Here's a proclamation. Now, they called him friend of sinners and they mocked him. I'm going to call him friend of sinners and I'm going to celebrate. And I'm celebrating that Jesus is a friend of sinners because I was lost, but now I'm found. You see, Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You find that in Luke chapter 9, if you look at those verses, or Matthew chapter 9. He also said in Luke 5:31 that they that are whole need not a physician, but who? They that are sick. That's why when we come into the house, I had somebody recently say to me, they say, you know, I just don't know if I want to come back because every time I come down to the altar and I just shed tears. Praise God for a place that you can feel the Spirit of God and He moves on you. I want to tell you myself, there was a time in my life that God was dealing with me. Every time I went to church, I went to the altar. I would get up and people would be looking at me and you know what I thought? And maybe they were thinking this, but they're just Pharisees. You know, they were thinking, what's wrong with him? I'll tell you what's wrong. God's pulling on my heartstrings. God's dealing with me. God's got somewhere He wants me to go. Maybe God's got somewhere He wants you to go. And you just need to let Him work in your heart and your life. Don't be ashamed to use the altar of God.
Amen.
I'm glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus was going down the road, Luke chapter number 19, just walking down the street. People all around Him, just like in here. As if, could you imagine Christ walking down the aisle? And you're here this morning, and you're just like Zacchaeus. See, Jesus was walking down the road, but there was a little guy up in a tree. He climbed up in a tree because he had heard so much about Jesus. He said, I just got to see Him. And when Jesus came walking by, it's just like when the Holy Spirit comes through a room and God is passing through this morning, He knows your name. Just like the song that they sang, He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life and He has a plan. I want you to understand something. The devil, number one, is a liar. He's telling you you're not important. He's telling you you're not somebody. He's telling you you'll never get out of the trouble or the hole you're in. He's a liar. God's got a plan for your life. And right now God is calling somebody's name just like He did Zacchaeus. And He told Zacchaeus, He said, make haste and come down. He said, hurry. What did He do? He went home with Zacchaeus. Of course, the old Pharisees, they peeking in the window again. But I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. God loves you.
Amen.
God can use you. God has a plan for your life. It ain't none of the devil's business. And let me tell you something else. It ain't none of the Pharisees' business. He loves you. You see, it was a proclamation. And I'm excited about it. That Jesus is friend of sinners. And He found me, and He's my friend. But here's the end, and here's what I want you to understand. The invitation is Jesus is calling somebody to be His friend. See, Jesus is calling you to be His friend. He told Zacchaeus, He said, make haste and come down. And he went and he sat with Zacchaeus. And of course, if you ever meet Jesus, you'll understand this. There ain't nobody like Him. There's nobody that can compare to Him. And when He moves into your heart and your life and people look at you and they say, you're different than you used to be. You don't act like you used to act. Why don't you come on, go with us? You come back to the house of God. Are we trying to get it busy enough around here that you got somewhere to go where you don't have to go out in the world and do everything that's out there? God's got something better for you.
Amen.
See, Jesus is saying, will you be my friend? So He loves you. But here's the thing about a relationship with God. He's already done His part. John 15, verse 13 and 14 says this. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Folks, Jesus loved us so much that He laid down His life to be our friend. And then He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. People say, well, I don't want to live under those restrictions. Jesus didn't say there wasn't any yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you. See, the reason that people don't become a friend of Christ, the truth is they're just not willing to obey. They're not willing to bow. They're not willing to surrender. Then they want to blame God. They want to accuse God. And they're going to say, well, what kind of God would do this? Or what kind of God would do that? Here's the problem. He's God, and you're not. See, Jesus is your friend. I guess the question, are you his friend? I want to be his friend. You know, I've been saved a long time, but we're going to be honest. I'm still growing. And there may be things that I find it easier to walk with Christ today than I used to. The Bible does tell us that there is no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. But with every temptation, there's going to be a way of escape. Let me tell you something. I've been walking with Him long enough that when I face a trial, I don't look that way. I look back. And I remember what God has done in my life. I remember who He is. I remember how powerful He is. And I believe that the Scripture teaches us that He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to understand. He hadn't led you to the edge of the Jordan to leave you there and die. He didn't leave you to the wilderness so you could die. He led you there to teach you. And He wants you to learn to walk with Him and trust Him. And when you do, you'll come out on the other side. And you know what you're going to find yourself doing before long? You're going to be helping somebody else. You're going to be saying, come and let me introduce you to my friend. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if He's not your friend, He can be. And here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says, choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. These times in my relationship with God, my friendship with God, I've let Him down. But He's never forsaken me. He's never turned His back on me when I went back to Him and said, no, I don't want you anymore. But He just puts His arm around me. And He loves me. And He cares for me. And He welcomes me. That's why I love that verse so much. In the 103rd Psalm. It says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I want to ask you to rise to your feet this morning. God spoke to your heart. As I said, the altars of this church are always open. Let me tell you something, folks. It's okay to use the altar. A heart's desire and a prayer that I've had in this church is that the altar would be used. I want people to know this is a place you can come and let God speak to your heart. God spoke to you as they play this song. If you'd like to come, the altars are open.